In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As I mentioned in the introduction to the scripture passage, or the passage, the reading, the first lesson, this is from Greek Esther. You will not find it in the Hebrew for Esther. And so that brings up a discussion. What's the differences? What is the Hebrew and what is the Greek? Before the time of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament had been translated into Greek. We knew that it had been originally in Hebrew for God's children to speak and recite in Hebrew. But before the coming of Christ, Greek had become the common language of the land. And so in order to keep it consistent, 70, at least the tradition was, 70 scribes go in, they take and translate the Hebrew, and they come out with this one unified Septuagint 70 scribes translation. This is very clearly the scripture that Jesus and his disciples have present with them at the time of his ministry. And while not every single time, most of the time when the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, as they are writing in Greek, they're going to simply include the Greek phrases. It is interesting that the Greek translation of Esther includes much that the Hebrew did not. Almost consistently, the Greek version has more concepts of who God is. It includes Mordecai's prayer. It includes references to God and the Lord, absent from the Hebrew translation. What to do with that, quite honestly, I'm not entirely sure. But I do absolutely trust that what we have today is God's holy and inspired word. That everything that is necessary for our salvation is included in the scriptures. Esther is included, for the most part, so that we would understand the festival of Purim. That is, as the Jews had been declared that they should all be wiped out, the Hebrew people, God saved them. He had brought forth Esther for such a time as this, to lay down at the feet of her king, of her husband, and to petition that he would save her people. For such a time as this, God raised up Esther, and God saved his people. For such a time as this, God has created you. He has brought you forth on this earth to do his will and to do his work. Thanks be to God. Whether it is in the original text or not, it is a beautiful prayer, reminding God that he has come to do these things for them. O Lord God, King who rules over all things, for the universe is in your power, and there is no one who can oppose you if it is your will to save Israel. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. All the princes gather, and they jest, and they try to have a will against God's will. They mock him, but ultimately they will be trampled under his footstool. You have made heaven and earth, and every wonderful thing under heaven. You are the Lord of all, and there is no one who can resist you. Of all the gods and goddesses in antiquity, the false idols, almost universally, they are stuck in one specific spot. Likely because demons are not omnipresent. They cannot be present everywhere as God is. And so they're kind of landlocked that way. But over all the demons, over all the angels, over every dumb, that is, mute idol that cannot speak because it was made with a man's hands instead of the true God, we have the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, reigning over all of it. He is the one who made heaven and earth, and they declare his handiwork. He is the Lord. He is King of Kings. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our God. Yes, they sought to annihilate the Hebrew people, and they might seek to do the same to you. But God will save a remnant, just as he did then. He rises up to save his people now. Sadly, life ultimately will still be lost. But do not fear the one that can kill the body. Rather, trust in the one who cares for your soul. Hear my prayer. Have mercy upon your inheritance. Turn our mourning into feasting, that we may live and sing praise to your name, O Lord. Do not destroy the mouth of those who praise you. Let us live. Let us sing. Let us praise the Lord. And then when they try to censor you in this, do it even louder. Even the rocks will cry out. The nursing infants cannot be contained. Now, I've never tried to keep an infant quiet for a whole church service, let alone a Sunday church service. But they'll cry out too. And they join us in their songs. Thanks be to God. For those vocal cords and those lips will move to sing his praises as they will learn them by heart before they can ever read. What a joy it is to have children present in our worship service, week in and week out. May their mouths praise him. Jesus very clearly tells his disciples that he has come for a purpose, and that purpose is to go to the cross. Jesus has not come to conquer the Romans and reestablish an earthly kingdom for Israel. He has come to overthrow sin, death, and the devil. And the way that he can do that is by going to his death. And he does it willingly. But like a mother who loves her sons, James and John's mother comes before him and she says, "So Lord, my two boys, think maybe one on your right hand, one on your left, trying to get them ahead in life, trying to see them in his kingdom over all the world. This isn't why he's come. He has come to go to a throne that is his cross. And on his right hand and on his left hand are criminals, deserving of the death that they are enduring. This is his right hand and his left hand, crucified for their own mistakes." St. Luke is the gospel that tells us that while both of them mock him and jeer him, eventually the one will repent. And he will ask, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus assures him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus alone can forgive the sins won on his cross. And he distributes that through his mouthpieces throughout the world. Jesus had to come for the purpose of dying, of being crucified. Yes, at the plotting of the Jews, but also at the hands of the Gentiles. As much as it pains us to see him go through it, he is going to be mocked, he is going to be spit upon, because it was prophesied so. Jesus comes for this purpose, because he looked at you and said, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are worth my life, my blood, my body, so that I could have you for all of eternity." In the name of Jesus, amen.